I'm Paul Barclay. On This Big Ideas, two people who've devoted their lives to improving education for the poor and disadvantaged. One is American teacher Mary Catherine Swanson, the founder of the AVID program, which aims to make disadvantaged students university ready. She started the program in a San Diego high school 35 years ago, and now 1.5 million students in American schools are part of her AVID program. AVID, Advancement Via Individual Determination. Mary Swanson was in Australia earlier this year to see how her AVID scheme is being trialled in Australian schools. Our second educator lives and works on the other side of the globe. 50 years ago, Sanjeet Bunker Roy founded the Barefoot College in the Indian village of Tilania to improve the lives of the rural poor and make them self-sufficient. In the years since, his Barefoot College has taught villagers the skills to manage water, energy, health, and education. The Barefoot philosophy is a practical approach to education, learning by doing, and it reaches out to everyone in the community. Barefoot College programs have trained grandmothers in Africa and India to install solar electricity in their remote villages. Bunker Roy spoke to the Australia-India Institute at the University of Melbourne. His lecture is called Demystifying Professionalism, the Barefoot Gandhian Model. From a well-off family and educated in an elite school, St. Stephen's College, Bunker Roy describes the moment he decided to dedicate himself to the education of the rural poor.
In 1965, when I was still in this very elitist, snobbish, expensive college in India, there was a famine in Bihar. Jayaprakash Narayan at that time called all the youngsters from the university to come and join and work in the famine in Bihar. If you have a background like I had, Doon School and St. Stephen's College, you don't really go to rural India. You actually go to New York or Zurich or Mumbai or places like that. So out of curiosity, I thought I'd go to this famine. And that's when I saw Bharat, the other part of India, the rural part of India, and saw death and starvation and hunger for the first time. And it really changed my life. And all the jobs were waiting for me, you know, Doon School, St. Stephen's College, Indian squash champion, all the jobs are waiting for you. And then I came back and I told my mother, I think I'd like to live in a work in a village. Mother went into a coma. She said, what's all this? Because, you know, all the jobs are laid out and why are you doing this? What happened? I said, well, I went to this famine in Bihar and I didn't know my own country. I'd like to see what my country is like. And I didn't know my villages. And no one actually took me to the villages. So she said, what do you want to do in this village? And no money, no job, no prospect, no security. I said, I want to be an unskilled laborer digging wells. She never spoke to me for many years. Because the biggest problem was, what will I tell the family? In India, the biggest problem is that you have to explain to the family why you've got an odd man who wants to live and work in a village as an unskilled laborer, especially with that education you have. But then I was exposed to the most extraordinary knowledge, skills, and wisdom that very poor people have. Extraordinary. Traditional knowledge, skills, and wisdom that we have in every part of India. And we don't know about it. We don't read about it. We don't acknowledge it. We don't respect it. We don't apply it. And I said, why is it that we don't hear about these people, these ordinary people? So I said, I'd like to start a Barefoot College only for the poor. What the poor thought was important would be reflected in this college. So we redefined professionalism. Who's a professional today? A professional is someone who has a combination of competence, confidence, and belief. A water diviner, for us, is a professional. A traditional midwife, today half the members of parliament in India have been delivered by traditional midwives. Sadly, some of them are still alive. But they have a technology which we cannot disregard, we cannot look down on. So these are the people we wanted to bring into the Barefoot College and show that this is still relevant today. The knowledge, skills, and wisdom that they have is still relevant today. So when I went to this college, I went to this village for the first time, Tilonia, The elders came to me and said, "Are you running from the police?" I said, "No." "You failed in your exam." I said, "No." "You didn't get a government job." I said, "No." They said, "Why are you here? Is there something you're not telling us?" I said, "No. I really want to live voluntarily in a village, in your village, and see what I can do." So they gave me some very professional, profound advice. They said, please don't bring anyone with a degree and qualification into your college. So it's the only college in India that if you should have a master's or a PhD, you're disqualified to come. You have to be someone who works with his hands. Has to be someone who believes in the dignity of labor. And you cannot be someone who flaunts your degree and makes yourself superior. So, we believe in this. The illiterate of the 21st century will not be someone who can't read and write, but someone who is not prepared to learn, unlearn, and relearn. Where is it written that just because you can't read and write, you cannot become an engineer, you cannot become an architect, you cannot become a designer, a communicator, a health worker? Why have we got this problem with our mindset that just because someone can't read and write, we penalize them, we look down on them, and the final insult is we call them uneducated. Just because you can't read and write, you call them uneducated? It's an insult, because this person knows much more about the farm, about the weather, about the soil, about the sky, about the solar, than anyone I know. It's just a question of being humble and listening to these people. So when we said that, they said, "Prove it, what you're saying." So the Barefoot College was built in 1986 by someone who still can't read and write today. At $1.50 a square foot, the Barefoot College was done in 3 years. Doesn't leak, hasn't collapsed, and we didn't use any architect or engineer. It's the only college which is fully solar energized in India. All the power for the college comes from the sun. But the person who actually did this was a Hindu priest who's done 8 years of primary schooling. He knows more about solar energy than anyone I know anywhere in the world. It just happens that he's done only primary school teaching. So, for the next 25 years, we have no problem with power. We have a telephone exchange in the Barefoot College, which is solar energized, and we have internet, Wi-Fi, optical fiber cable, faster than Delhi. We have a community radio station, all run by women. And we reach 50,000 people 24/7 with vital social messages. We have a solar-operated ATM machine. And we have an outlet for 400 artisans, where about 400 artisans make items that we actually help them design and we sell. And they're all paid by check. So in case they don't know how to read and write, they have to learn how to read and write if they want to take money out from the bank. Sometimes they don't want to take money out from the bank because they want to leave it there so that the husbands don't drink it away. So they keep the money there, no problem. And we look after the culture of Rajasthan is very important. So we have Lok Utsavs. That means we bring all these singers, dancers together for 3 or 4 days and they perform. And we keep about 4,000 hours of music alive. We have our forestry and nursery, where we only keep traditional varieties which are almost dying out. So we can preserve them and make sure that they're still alive. We have a dentist, illiterate, looking after the teeth of 7,000 children. She went and got very, very overexcited and said, "In 6 months I can do a root canal." I said, "No, hold it. You can't do a root canal. You just have to look after kids, look after the teeth, see that they're simple things like that." But it's a solar-operated dentist chair, and we have acupuncture. And you, if you ever come to the Barefoot College, you will get solar-cooked food by women who have actually designed this solar cooker. Very sophisticated solar cooker, which moves with the sun. And we also have a Barefoot pathologist. We believe in the transfer of technology. Demystifying and decentralizing technology right down to the very poor. And the most sophisticated technology these people can handle, you won't believe it, how sophisticated technology they handle. And so, when it comes to hand pump repair, when it comes to rainwater harvesting, all these women are involved. That's 300 years old. In Rajasthan, it is still being used today. If you ask an engineer, how do you solve the problems of drinking water? They will say, use tube wells. If you go to the old man in the village and say, what do you do for drinking water? He says, I collect rainwater harvesting. Why didn't you collect rain? Common sense. If you ask an engineer and an architect, why haven't you done rainwater harvesting? You know the first stupid answer they give? They say it was not in my curriculum. As if common sense is something which they cannot apply. So, rainwater harvesting, we said, if the people can do it, why don't we? So we converted that people's technology and collect rainwater in schools. So over 1,200 schools we cover, collecting rainwater from the roof, and 6 months of the year in Rajasthan, they have access to safe, potable drinking water. We discovered this dam about 10 years ago, very strategically located, beautiful, and we said, why don't we go to the government and see if they can actually revitalize this dam? So they sent a very, very senior engineer to have a look at the dam. And they looked at the dam, and of course, we expected it, we anticipated it, but it was sad. But the engineer said, not possible, can't be done, badly located. So we said, all right, let's do it ourselves and see how we can shame the government. And within 14 months, we collected 20 million liters of rainwater, local labor, local materials, local technology. And today, over 20 villages and 100,000 people are benefiting from this, because the water is going into the ground and revitalizing hand pumps which are dry, wells which are dry. Simple, simple technology of water percolation into the ground. Today, over 60, 70 hand pumps within a radius of 10 kilometers have got water because of that strategically placed dam. And it only cost £25,000, which is the cost of 4 hand pumps that you get engineers to bore. So what is the point we are making? Listen to what the people have to say. Utilize the technology that they have. And this is totally Gandhian, bottom up. How do you demystify and decentralize technology right down to the hands of very poor people? In 1975, we started the night schools of Thilonia, because 60% of the children don't go to school in the morning because they're looking after domestic chores, finding water, finding wood. So we started night schools only for the children at night. 1975, they were all kerosene lamps. Today, all of them have solar lanterns, and all of them, 7,000 children come to these 200 night schools. But the beauty is that every 3 years we have an election. Boys and girls between 6 and 14 elect a prime minister. Prime minister today is 14 years old. She has a cabinet. She administers, supervises 200 schools. Her cabinet is very strong. We have a cabinet meeting every month to administer the school. Teacher doesn't come in time. Teacher beats a parent, beats a child, misuses a solar lantern, doesn't know how to use the teaching aids. The Prime Minister writes to me and said, look, please discipline this teacher. And the teacher is disciplined. So Prime Minister writing to me is a very serious, serious letter that we have to respond to. That's her cabinet. And they actually supervise and administer schools. Because all the children, most of the 70% of the children who come to the night schools are girls, all the Prime Ministers are girls. Much to the regret of the boys who have to settle to be leader of the opposition or speaker of the house. But they can't be prime minister. Where there is no radio, where there's no television, where there's no written communication, we use puppetry. Puppetry is, this is Jokim Chacha. He's 300 years old. He's my analyst, doctor, teacher, engineer, donor. He solves all my problems in the village. If there's tension in the village, we call Jokim Chacha. He solves it all for me. We reach about 100,000 people through these puppet shows, and all these puppets are made out of recycled World Bank reports. We gave one to the president of the World Bank. He wanted one. Livelihood, very important. How do we create jobs? Today, We are training women to repair their own hand pumps and get be paid for it. We are having the first barefoot woman solar engineer. What is the most powerful way of communicating today? Is it television? Is it telegraph? It's telewoman. The most powerful way of communicating today. So we only train women today. And these are handicrafts items, and because of solar lanterns, these women have got 4 hours more at night to be able to generate some income. We train them in all sorts of different skills, sanitary pads, teaching and learning aids, chalk and candle making, and we are reaching solar water heaters, solar cookers, making mosquito nets. Today we are actually impacting over 2 million people, directly or indirectly. So in 2008, when we started the solar program, that's what it looked like. Today, we are reaching over 82 countries around the world, training women. We have an extraordinary collaboration with the government of India. We go to a village which is non-electrified anywhere in the developing world. We ask the community, how much do you pay for lighting, kerosene, candles, torch batteries? And they say about $10. We say, if we bring in solar light to your village, are you prepared to pay $10 and no one objects? Are you prepared to give us a little building as a community contribution where we can do some repair and maintenance? They're mystified. Yes, you can. Are you prepared to have a solar committee to collect all these contributions? Yes. Are you prepared to select a grandmother between 35 and 50 who has never left her village in her life and send them to India for 6 months? Ah, that's a problem. Why a woman? We said we have come to the conclusion that men are untrainable. Men are restless, men are compulsively mobile, men are ambitious, and every man wants a certificate. And the moment you give a man a certificate in a village, he leaves the village within 24 hours looking for a job in a city. So why train men at all? Why not train women? And grandmothers in Africa? They are grandmothers at 35. So between 35 and 50, are you willing to? They said, no, you know, this woman, what does she know? Looks after grandchildren, looks after goats. You want to take her all the way to India? I said, yes. They said, why can't you take a younger man, a younger woman? Then I used the government of India thing. I said, no, government of India only says grandmother. So they said, all right. So it takes me about half a day to convince them to take two women. First time ever leaving the village. First time ever getting onto a plane. 19 hours by flight. Landing in India, new temperature, new language, new people. Can't speak your language for 6 months. And in 6 months, through sign language, they all become solar engineers. And they go and solar electrify their own village. We went to Ladakh and we asked this woman, what's the advantage of solar that you have got? And she thought for a moment and said, it's the first time I can see my husband's face in winter. Can you imagine? Only a candlelight at minus 40 outside in Ladakh for 6 months. It's changed her whole life, just solar light. So we, after doing solar in about 13 states of India, we said we'll go to Africa. And in Africa, between 2004, 2015, in 36 countries round, this is the light that they have in Africa. Unacceptable, totally. So today, we are in 36 countries in Africa. All the grandmothers sitting together in one table, going chatter, but not understanding a word, because they all speak Jola or French or Spanish, but the body language is great. And they all love it, because they know they're the only solar engineers of their country, men included, the only solar, and they have to be successful. Not out of the 800 grandmothers, not one failure. So when we had this going on for many years, the Prime Minister of India said he wants to see these women. So in 10th of July last year, he saw 30 of these women in Africa and he called them the Solar Mamas. And now it's gone stuck now. They're the Solar Mamas of the world. And of course, we said we want to go to the Pacific Islands. So in August, was it when we had the Pacific Island Conference in Jaipur? He announced that 70 more solar mamas will be trained, 2,800 houses will be solar electrified in 14 Pacific Islands. And now there are women from the Pacific Islands, from the Marshall Islands, from Micronesia. You just name it, we've got some women coming to Thelonia, and all underwritten by the government of India. Of course, Michelle Bachelet was a great supporter when she was head of UN Women, and she gave us a lot of money for the Pacific Islands. So today we are now all over the world. But of course, we need a lot of support, because somehow or other people think that we are a very big organization. 80 countries, you must be really flush with money. And we said, no, we're not. We are a very simple, small organization. The idea is big. Our effort is small, but now the whole community owns it and they've taken it on. And that is the sustainable solution today. How do you manage to manage, control and own the process is the final solution today. So His Holiness the Dalai Lama went around. We made a puppet of him too. And he said something very profound. He said, now that you have shown the Barefoot College working in practice, let's see if the experts and all the policy makers can make it work in theory. We're doing everything wrong, and yet it seems to make a difference. We're not following classical examples of development, and yet because we are showing our faith and trust in very ordinary common people and giving them the opportunity and space to work, that is the final solution today. Thank you.
Sanjit Bunker Roy, the founder of the Barefoot College in Rajasthan, India, speaking at the University of Melbourne. Bunker Roy now responds to audience questions.
I'm Hans Baer, an anthropologist here at the university. And what you're doing is very admirable. But at the macro level, India has embraced neoliberalism in many ways. And so now what you have is this growing gap in India and a growing number of billionaires. So where do you see that? Where do you fit in with that? Or can you be a challenge to that particular model that seems to have really taken off in India?
Unfortunately, we have forgotten the message that Mahatma Gandhi gave us during independence. How do we develop the capacity and competence of very poor people at the bottom of the pyramid? And how do we improve the quality of life by having a decentralized process in which they are strengthened, they have the power to be able to take their own decisions? And we have forgotten that. Unfortunately, also because we haven't been able to give enough respect to the communities and villages around India, you have this large migration taking place into the cities. And our job in the Barefoot College is to make sure that if we can improve the quality of life for villages, people, there'll be reverse migration and they will come back to the communities. Because no one in their right mind would like to stay in the slums of Mumbai and Delhi. The biggest problem is that they're ashamed to go back because they feel everyone will say, what have you done? You're not successful. You went all the way there. You wasted your time. So they are ashamed to go back. How do we develop that self-respect and self-esteem in them to say that going and living in a village is not a punishment? In the bureaucracy today, if you go to a village, it's called a punishment post. How do we change the mindset of people that this is happening? The gap is definitely widening. I went for 5 years to the World Economic Forum in Davos, and all the people, billionaires, coming to Davos, saw me. They were in school and college with me, for God's sake, 30, 40 years ago, and they're all billionaires now. And they look at me and said, what are you doing here? I said, I'm sorry, I was invited by Klaus Schwab. Klaus Schwab invited you? How does he know you? I said, I don't know how he knows me, but actually he invited me to here. And the second stupid question these billionaires ask, did you pay for it? I said, no, I didn't pay for it. You came in free? I said, yes, I came in free. And I had to pay 700,000 Swiss francs to come here for 4 days. How did you manage? Look at their mindset. These people can only think of these things when there is a global movement on CSR, corporate social responsibility. Not one of them who was in school and college when he came up to me and said, Bunker, let's do something together, because that is the mood today. Not one. So we have a big problem with the billionaires in India today. If the billionaires were actually self-conscious and they were human, we wouldn't have to go and get money from abroad. They have enough money in this country, but they don't have it in them. Sorry to say, they may have been to the best school and college in the world, but they don't have the compassion, they don't have the tolerance, they don't have the patience. And that is our problem in India today.
And Makhijani, my question is about your incredible program with solar. What would you say to the current view in amongst politicians over here that the mine is needed, the Adani mine is needed to lift poor in India out of poverty by providing them with coal for energy and for lighting?
I believe the solution in India is to decentralize. Go right down to the household level. Not even today, you have centralized schemes today which are supposed to be distributing power to these villages. It will never work because you haven't taken the community into confidence. The moment you put in one panel on every roof of every man's or woman's house, then it will work because they will own it. So this centralized system, we are not in favor of.
Thank you very much. I was in Tolonia in 1976, so it's good to see you at the coalface still. I have a question regarding the government, and we did see Prime Minister Modi in Africa. What has been the greatest change that you've seen in the government attitude towards the Barefoot College and the civil society? And has civil society influenced Indian democracy? Thank you.
I have had extraordinary cooperation from the government of India. Since 2008, they have given over $150,000 every year to train 80 grandmothers, solar mamas from all over the world. I've never had a problem. They believe that this is a very major program. This is a flagship program for them. And I've never had a problem with anybody. The previous High Commissioner, the Indian High Commissioner in Australia, used to be in Papua New Guinea. And I met him in Papua New Guinea. And he was so, you know, he was all enthusiastic about the solar mamas going from Papua New Guinea to India. It's a great program because you are showing that a woman can become a role model, can become a change agent, and can actually show the courage to be able to do this. Any number of times, the man says, oh, if you go to India, I'll take another wife. I can't wait for 6 months. She goes in spite of all this courage. She goes, trains, and comes back. She goes like a grandmother, comes back like a tiger. She comes and solar electrifies the whole village, and the husband is in total awe. Cannot imagine this woman has gone back and become a solar engineer. And then the husband says, come back, please. I'm very happy. But the woman from Burkina Faso, no, no, I'm quite happy without you now. I'm all right, no problem. Some women who are gutsy, who've never had an opportunity like this in their lives, and they know that they are the only solar engineers of their country.
Hi, my name is Soumya, and I'm from one of the professions you said they don't teach a lot. I'm from the architectural profession, and I do agree with you for most of it. But my question is, with all these young girls who are coming to your school, what's their background like with the child marriages that Rajasthan is infamous for? And also another question, for a young man like you in 80s to actually come up with an idea and going to a village, very traditional, what you have just said as to talking with the community, you made it sound very easy. And being from India, we know the mindset, it's not always that easy as you just made it sound.
In 2002, we got the Aga Khan Award for Architecture, but we returned it. And my $50,000 I had to return also, because the architectural community were up in arms. They said, how can you give this Aga Khan Award to this barefoot architect who can't read and write? It is a slap on our own profession. So I said, okay, please take the award back if you think this is, the architect community in India is up in arms. So I said, please take me out of the website because I don't want to go into a slanging match with some of your architects here. We have something called the Jagriti Yatra. Has anyone ever been to a Jagriti Yatra? It's an amazing journey of about 1 month where youngsters, from about 400 youngsters, get onto a train and they go all over India, showing these youngsters that there is an alternative possible. There is some hope in this country. It's not all grim and bad and doom and gloom. So all these youngsters come and they finally, before they go back to Bombay, land up in Tilonia. So these 400 people, I ask them one question. And please tell me if I'm right. Are your biggest problems your parents? And 99% raise their hands. There's something wrong with our educational system that you don't allow your son and daughter to think independently and to do what they want. Today we have 12 State Bank of India fellows with us in the college, and all of them have problems with their parents. Why is that? They've supposedly gone to the best school and college, and yet the parents are bringing them down. Hassles about marriage, hassles about good jobs. What are you doing in the middle of a village in the middle of nowhere? And they're all ringing me up and saying, what have you done to my daughter? He's sleeping on the floor. You know, all these outrageous things we learn from so-called decent parents. I have a big problem with the parents. What do we do? How do we re-educate the parent to say, let the son think and do, or the daughter think and do what they want? But no, ingrained in us that if I can't become a doctor, I'll make my son a doctor, or I'll make my daughter a doctor. What is this insane way of looking at this? Our education system is really very screwed up, sorry to say. So we have a big problem in, there is an alternative way. I don't want to be in the IAS, I don't want to be in the Foreign Service, I don't want to be a businessman, I want to do what I want to do. Let me be. It's a big problem today.
Bunker Roy and the Barefoot Model, which is teaching the rural poor in India.